Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau, and today we're joined by two new expert leaders to join the Label Sessions roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello.
Great. Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So hello and welcome to Brian White. Brian is best known for building a global supply chain for a native botanical that previously had zero commercial infrastructure. Beyond his own company, Brian serves as a venture builder and advisor to dozens of early stage founders through builders and backers. So welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Also a big welcome to Greg McCallum. Greg is best known as the No BS Advisor. He brings brutal clarity to messy commercial questions, whether it's fixing revenue plateaus, resetting go-to-market strategy, or turning a founder-led sales hustle into a functioning organization.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So there was a little story last week. Starlink went down for a little bit. Caused a bit of mass chaos around the world. And there was, you know, many people were kind of happy about it because they got, Elon Musk got a little bit of embarrassment from it because, you know, Starlink's never supposed to go down. But the question really is more about infrastructure and building in the idea of resilience. And I think, Brian, for you, you've obviously had to develop a supply chain completely from scratch. How much do you think businesses should be looking at resilience as something to drive how they're developing infrastructure?
I think it's pretty important. I mean, you know, from my personal experience with our business, we operate almost exclusively in very rural areas. And we utilize Starlink for our internet access because, frankly, we don't have another choice. I mean, we don't have any other option that can operate at this speed that we need to conduct business, and we have to use Starlink. I don't really enjoy that. I mean, personally, I think Elon Musk is a douche, so I don't want to give him money, but we don't have any alternative. So when it went down last week, it was a big problem. You know, we could not do business for, I don't remember how long it was, but it was at least like a full day or more that we were totally offline. So yeah, resilience is important because when that went down, we couldn't do business. And that's not a good thing. You know, it's like you've got a single point of failure, and that's a big problem. I think we're moving into an age where so many things are changing so fast. We can't afford to have single points of failure. You know, we have to kind of hedge our bets in multiple areas. So yeah, I think it's critical.
100%. And as a country that does not, so I'm in an African country that is not a fan of Elon Musk and will not have Starlink. Ironically, it's South Africa. So I think when Starlink went down, we should recognize how important all of the other infrastructure that we had in place was, because it didn't affect South Africa in any way. But for the rest of Africa, it was a very deep cut in terms of what was business as usual. So yeah, those undersea cables, as much as they are a bit of a pain as well, maybe the best option.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's like with South Africa too, I just was reading about the power grid, you know, with the load shedding. Now, how so many people are just like, oh, you don't have power today, sorry. And, you know, wealthier consumers are choosing to go off grid because it's more reliable. And I mean, and it's a challenge, obviously, for most of the people who can't afford to do that. But it's all part of, all cut from the same cloth.
And it's become a part of doing business here, or having a business here, is having built-in options for when the power goes down. It's not if, it's when. So every house sort of comes with things in place so that there's no interruption when the power does go down. So you're sort of, when Portugal, Spain, when half of Europe went down for power for that sort of half a day, we were like, well, you should have had the stuff in place already. Cause you know, just have it running. It's very uncommon to notice when load shedding happens now, because almost everyone is very much. And if they're telling you that they can't, they can't do business because it's load shedding, I don't want to say they're lying, but they probably are. Because by it's been 14 years of this. You've built in, every place is built in enough to, you're walking in the mall, you can do whatever. So I think it's one of those things where the resilience has sort of come off the back of an unstable grid. And what has happened is we've built a very stable backup power solution. Inverters are everywhere. Uninterrupted power supplies are everywhere. Banks everywhere obviously fund greener alternatives, but solar panels are more common. They are everywhere. And it's just one of those things where, as a country, we've just, instead of fixing the problem, which is probably what we should have done, we've just built an infrastructure that allows for it and then just switches over to a different thing when everything goes pear-shaped. Greg, anything from your side on this particular topic?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think that there is some irony in the way people that discuss this topic, and especially around Elon Musk, specifically, like or hate the guy, I don't think there is anyone on the planet doing more to address infrastructure security for the planet, for the economy, for technology, in light of potential upcoming huge catastrophes, technological shifts, or political changes. And you don't have to have a good or bad opinion of him in order to acknowledge that. I think, in terms of new attack, like what you said there, right, towards the end about South Korea is indicative of human beings in general. We don't have time today to get into the details as to why, but my understanding of sociology and human behavioral psychology as it stands is that, we inherently address the problems that are kind of right in front of us. And that's just generally the way we've typically been. And the few that kind of shout and scream in the street with the sign, the end is nigh. Yeah, the people that kind of, the fortune tellers of the world have historically been the first ones to hang, right? Or be considered witches and burnt at the stake. And the truth is that a lot of the people that are talking about these big ideas and big infrastructural changes, like Starlink, the internet beaming down from the sky, for Christ's sake, it's amazing, right? And we can say that whether or not we like the guy is really important. But in terms of the point, the smaller point, I guess, within your question about, the importance of this within business, it is really important, I think, to try and keep this dual way of thinking when building a business, that you need to really be hyper-focused on those immediate solutions right there. Even going back to that question you mentioned earlier about T, not building out a solution that's more robust for their cybersecurity, right? They're a startup. They're focused on the here and now. How can we acquire users? How can we return money back to investors? How can we, find product market fit? But it's important to do that while also trying to build out some infrastructure for the future. I mean, that's what I essentially do when I work with the founders and the businesses I work with, is continuously flipping between that macro and micro thinking in order to capture what's happening there and then, and translate that on behalf of businesses into some sort of foundational layer that can be used to scale and replicate things moving forward. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do. It requires a pretty special way of thinking that not everyone has the ability to do. Some people just have the talent for coming up with great ideas, building things, or leading people. But there are a few people in the world, more than a few, a decent handful of people in the world that are capable of that. And we should be, I think, asking them to help us as much as possible, and probably not going on a witch hunt based on their odd behavior or political views that we don't disagree with. Because at the end of the day, the world's sorely going to need that. One day our sun's going to blow up, and then it doesn't really matter what other forms of backup infrastructure we have, right? We're going to need to think a bit more long term if we really want to have a chance of building infrastructure that lasts. At least that's my take, in a way. I'm not sure if that really answered your question or if it was just me talking crap, but hopefully I addressed it somewhat.
No, I think that's good. I think I agree with Brian. I think Elon Musk's a douche as well. So I'm kind of everything.
That's kind of my point. I just said all that stuff, and the only thing you focus on is Elon is a douche. This is the problem that we have. We want to have serious conversations about serious innovations, protecting the planet, moving on as a species, and people always just bring it down to, well, that guy's a douche. It's like, okay,
well,
cool.
I just don't want him to cut.
But let's focus on the. Let's try as a group of human beings in the world to have grown up conversations about this stuff. I don't agree with all the stuff he does. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that people do, but I appreciate what they're delivering to the world. And I think we as humanity right now are devolving far too much into very childish conversation about this kind of stuff. We need to focus on what matters. What is that? I judge people by what they deliver. And what he's delivering to us as a human race is exceptional. And that's what we should be focusing on.
Well, I agree with Greg. I mean, I think that Elon Musk has created some incredible products and services for society, you know, like the Starlink service that we use. It usually works great, you know, and 100 times better than anything else that we could possibly use. And that is something that, you know, Elon Musk's genius has delivered. Unfortunately, he's also delivered other things to the United States, like a failing fucking democracy. So, you know, I think that we have a right to kind of weigh both things here and address the totality of the circumstances where, you know, it's not just, I think he's a douche. I also think that he's done some deeply unethical, immoral things that have a direct impact on millions or billions of people in the world. So good, bad, indifferent, it's just the truth. And we have a right to assess the whole thing. We could probably talk about that all day. We won't go down the K hole, but we'll go down the rabbit hole.
I don't think we can necessarily put that at Elon's feet. I mean, the American public voted for the new administration. Elon Musk didn't force that on the American public. So I'm not sure, not to get too political, because that isn't the idea of this discussion, but I'm just saying, like, this is what I mean by we need to be accurate in what we say and be honest intellectually about what we're saying. You can disagree with his politics, you can disagree with his personal activities and all that, but just even a flippant comment like, you know, he delivered that. I mean, like, guys, come on. Like, this is exactly the problem we have with discourse in 2025, is we feel like we can get away with saying something like that with no consequences.
I mean, I'm not gonna let people get away with saying stuff like that.
It's irresponsible.
He spent a few billion dollars on it, you know, and the US money has a huge influence on politics. It's not like,
and there were plenty of people spending money on the other side too. And if they had won, like, we could make the same argument. But the point is, it's a democratic process and they were voted in.
And now they're broken up. So where did that get us?
It's very, very sad. Very sad breakup. Got very emotional.
I wonder what
I'm sure it's on the T app.
We need a T app for politicians. That's what we need. That would be
full circle moment right there.
That's a great idea.
Oh my god.
Yelp for politicians. I think that would
be eligibility for re-election should be based on their overall ratings within it. That's how it should work. Alongside their personal expenses.
I think we've just solved democracy right there and there.
We rate them in poop emojis.
Yeah.